Welcome back, everyone. Tzvi Brokar with Rabbi Yehoshua Gerzi. It's exciting to be back here together again and continuing along our journey of understanding the key to financial success being embedded into this wonderful Yom Tov of Pesach Haba Aleinu L'Tayva.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so we'd like to, as usual, welcome all of our listeners, our Torah Anytime listeners, and the rest of our listeners that are tuning in around the world, live or through our recordings. Before we start today, we'd like to thank and give a special shout out to our sponsors of today's class, Eggert and Cohn Insurance, which some sponsors are difficult to give over. I'll be honest, you know, part of my practice over here in giving these classes is to go over speaking about the sponsorship, but this is perhaps the easiest one because Eggert and Cohn, I have a personal relationship. I am a happy, satisfied client of what they do. We have over here the line, Eggert and Cohn Insurance, which helps us to be able to experience peace of mind in life. We speak about this. We speak about the importance with the role of insurance and Menuchas Nefesh within our global Chabura. And Eggert and Cohn has really been a model for us in terms of being able to help English speakers that are here in Eretz Yisrael, right, to be able to understand not just what the insurance agents are talking about because they speak our language, they speak in English, but really what's going on in terms of understanding the whole entire world of insurance, how that applies in different aspects of home, life, and as well when it comes to travel insurance, both for English speakers that travel to outside of Israel and for those that are coming into Israel, or for those of us that are tuning in that aren't yet zoicha to live in Eretz Yisrael, right? They offer insurance programs as well for people that are studying yeshiva and seminaries. And something I was thinking about on the way down here, I had the blessing just yesterday to see an amazing post that was put out. If you haven't yet seen it, check it out, even though they haven't yet sponsored our series, of Esh HaTorah. Esh HaTorah, they had an amazing post that they put out there on ish.com about what it would be like through the Pesach story, through the world of selfies. And it's really hilarious. They put up this amazing post, kind of imagine seeing the Mitzrayim going through these different stages, like dam, and like you see the hail coming down in the background. So everyone taking selfies at different stages. It's hilarious. Like different stages throughout the Pesach story. You see like Moshe in the burning bush. It's like everyone's taking selfies. And it's like a funny thing. We chuckle, and that's why it's cute to like imagine today and like what was. And you know, something I was thinking about on the way down, what it would have been like, you know, if Eggert and Cohn existed at the time of its rise. Just imagine how good it could have been for Paro, you know, like the home insurance, you know, with the bar. And imagine like, you know, with the posters going all over
the
place.
He missed out.
Moshe is serious. Guys, sign up. Eggert and Cohn. But Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. We're zochet to have.
Good.
We're zochet to have such a company, which I could talk about them a lot, but we're supposed to be speaking about something else. But I know from the inside of speaking to people that work there, one of the things we speak about in the Global Chabur, this is relevant for what we do here at Pilsner Work Inspired, is the idea that in any job that a person does, a person is able to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and is able to really uplift that which a person does if they're mission-driven. Mission-driven, whether a person's a plumber, whether a person's an accountant, whether a person's in finance, right? And we speak about that, right? We know that the Global Chabur is going to be starting and kicking off after Pesach, which will be able to give you the tools in whatever job you are doing, right? To be able to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because you're mission-driven. And I know in Eggert and Cohn, I mean, if you look at the storyline about how they became created and how they started, it was a mission-driven family business. It was, how can we help people? Obviously, you have to run a company, but how can we help people? And thank you once again for sponsoring today's class. Okay, what are we talking about today? So let's talk about a little bit of where we left off for those that are just joining in with us. Though you have to make sure to see the previous classes. We were talking about stress. We were talking about how matzah, one aspect of matzah, a gift of matzah. Matzah is our ability to be able to uproot stress that comes in our lives, and particularly when it comes to money, when it comes to finance. And I think then an understanding of stress and that which we learned in our last class is really setting the foundations for what we're going to be talking today, right? Which is one of the keys to financial success is developing a resilience mindset, right? Resilience, I know we speak about it, Rebbe speaks about it a lot in the Base Metrics of Pilsno, right? It's being spoken more and more about today in the workplace. Right? One of the topics that we master in the Global Chabura, right, is how to live as a Kiddush Hashem, right, in 2023. What that means. Now we hear so often, work, Kiddush Hashem. Okay, like what does it actually look like? One of the topics that we speak about when we go through the core soft skills that really build up what it means to be a Kiddush Hashem. We spoke about it a little bit, just a little bit in one of our podcasts, right, is developing a resilience mindset. We didn't speak about resilience mindset in the podcast. We spoke a little bit about what it means to be as a Kiddush Hashem. And it's been identified as one of the most in-demand soft skills, right? And it's interesting, right? Is that, you know, whatever a person does, you know, whether or not a person's running their own business or a person is an employee, right? The ability to be resilient has become recognized as being so important. Even though people may have tremendous skill sets and may be brilliant, right, Rabbi? If they don't have it, I'm sure you have lots of stories, right, that come along, people that meet with you in different roles where really the answer to their solution is not necessarily...
It was a soft skill, it wasn't brains.
Right, not necessarily brains, right? And the managers are recognized, and it's something that we want to develop. Now, how does this connect to Pesach? So the way it connects to Pesach is, as we did, I think, last class or the class before, right, is going to be asking another question, right? We answer a question with asking another question, which is, what is Mara doing there on Leila Seder? Right, Leila Seder is the night of freedom, right? Jewish freedom, where we're trying to experience and tap into an experience, tap into a tangible experience, not just a conceptual, something we're going to experience in every fabric of our body, Chayrus, freedom. And there we have, right there in the Seder, Mara. Right, do you know that? You know that famous story they tell about the goy that was invited for the Pesach Seder?
Okay.
No, cool. Want me to share it? Okay, yes. Fine. I'll share it. I wasn't sure if you would share it. I would share it. So there's a story. I forgot who it is. I don't know if it was a real story. It doesn't make a difference. Real story. The Baal HaMisra told it to learn a lesson. Right. That there was once this goy. Right. There was once this guy who was an ani. He was a poor guy, and he was told, like, you know, if you want to eat well, you know,
go to the Pesach Seder.
Like, you know, even the Yidden that just eat potatoes right there in Poland, right, they're not blessed to eat more. But Pesach Seder, they have a good meal. So somehow he works it out with maybe one of his friends. I don't remember exact details. But somehow he got himself an invite, which I think that's a bit problematic, halachically. But okay, somehow, maybe that's why it's not a real story. He got an invite. They didn't know he was Jewish. He wasn't Jewish. He got an invite to the Pesach Seder. So he comes there and he walks in. You know, and, you know, right away his eyes light up, you know, because he sees all the silver and all the gold, and he sees everything set up. Malchus dip, like, not just going to be, you know, a quick meal. This is going to be something serious. You know, and he sits down, everyone, he sees the wine on the table. And, you know, as he sits down, right, we all know what happens in Pesach. Right, so they do Kaddish, you know, Orchatz, everyone's washing their hands, he's getting excited, and then what happens, they just take out this flat bread, they break it in half, and he's like, at least he's going to get a piece. No, his stomach starts to grumble, they sit down and start talking and talking and talking, and people stand up and they start singing and talking and acting and jumping, and the guy, hours and hours and hours, in the meantime, his mamish is going. He's going out of his kelim. He's like, where's the food? You know, like, what's going on? These people are insane. You know, what is this torture system over here? The Jews getting back, you know. And he finally, you know, he's mamish holding himself back. And everyone's like, all right, you know, okay, we drink another cup of wine. Everyone goes to wash. Okay, finally, gives him some of the flatbread. Like, okay, you know, maybe something else is coming. And then what happens?
Give him Mara.
Here. We forgot about karpas, right? That was part of kapra. So they gave him a little bit of a potato. They're like, no, don't eat too much. Don't eat too much. He's like, what do you mean I'm hungry? Okay, so they get to Mara, you know, and finally, here, eat, you know, eat a lot, you know, kazayis. They give him, you know, the sharp stuff. Not like, you know, the weak Ashkenazi stuff, the real smarty stuff. Mama's mouth's on fire. He gets so angry. He just, I don't know, maybe make some type of anti-Semitic remark, depending, you know, on what version of the story you hear. When he runs out of the Seder, you know, everyone's like, what's with that guy? And then, of course, you know, Shulchan Aruch comes 5 seconds later. You know, so the story, you have to be a Yid, you have to hold on. But what's Mara doing there? What's Mara doing there at the Seder? So there's a beautiful Sas Emes that we're going to go through. Pesach Hashem, it changed my life. I'm sure it changed even more than just my life, the Sas Emes. And the Sfas Emes bringing down the Chiddush HaRiyim, which really gave me a pair of glasses. Bezer Hashem will give us all a pair of glasses on how we're going to experience Mara this year. So the Sfas Emes is found in the Kutim of Pesach. He brings down from the Chiddush HaRiyim, right, that Higitam Achilas Mara Shemasha Haya Mar Lehem Haya Ktsas Geula. That which it was bitter for the Jewish people, and they experienced this uncomfortability, the bitterness of Mitzrayim, that itself was the beginning of the Geula. That itself was the beginning of the Geula. It was part of the Geula. And therefore, we eat the Marer on Pesach. Now, what's he speaking about? How does that make any sense? So he says, and this is the Yesod, Chiddush Rim says in a few different places, that when he says, V'yamas ha-melech v'yanchu, right, that because they experienced the difficulty and the disappointment and the new king came, whatever that means, and they crawled out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they cried out, they wanted change, they wanted something different. And he says that this was part of the Geula process because part of the description we read in the Agadah of what was taking place in Mitzrayim, the words that are used in the Torah was that there was a sivlos Mitzrayim. It says Hashem took us out of the sivlos Mitzrayim. What does it mean, sivlos Mitzrayim? So naturally, we normally understand it as being the suffering of Mitzrayim. But says the Chiddush Harim, listen to this, the Chiddush Harim says, sivlos Mitzrayim is connected to the lashon of like savanus, that a person tolerates something. And what took place, what was happening in Mitzrayim was that even though it was bad, the Yidden became used to it. The Yidden became used to it even though it was something which was uncomfortable and it was painful. The Yidden just got used to it. That was life. That's what they grew up into. So he says that what it means, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Sivan Mitzrayim. So says the Chiddush Harim, Shema Shelo Hayinu Yecholim L'Soivlam, that which they said, enough! This is hard. I don't want this anymore. This is uncomfortable for me. That itself was the beginning of the Geula. So explains the Chiddush Harim. So Hashem is explaining, why is it that Mara is there? Because when we're there at Leil HaSeder, we have to understand that feeling the uncomfortability of a situation, that itself is part of the Geula process. Because what's the alternative? The alternative is, right, and I know this from my own life, perhaps not yours, but someone you know's life, right, that there are people that they may experience uncomfortable situations in their life when it comes to work. I know I meet with people like this all the time. They're not happy, but they're just used to it. They just kind of accepted their fate. And what Mara is coming to teach us is that what? Is that the first step of being able to make that change is to be able to recognize and, I guess, what would be the best word? To accept the fact that there's uncomfortability? What would you say, Rabbi? Is it
to lean into it.
So it's accepting and leaning into.
Yes, leaning into it.
As opposed to running away.
That's for sure. So one thing by the Yidden, is that we knew from a very, very early stage that we don't run away, we lean in. When we call this leaning into discomfort. What's very interesting is there's several places in the Zaya and the Tikkuni Zohar Leiv, Lamed Beis, with the Bira Agra specifically, that speaks about there's a Paradis Ramonim, there's a Rabbeinu Bachia, that speaks about this Nakuda of how there are 50 times Yitziyat Mitzrayim is mentioned in the Chumash, and that correlates to the Yovlot according to the Paradis Ramonim, or it's referring to the Shabbat, so it says 50 Sabbaths. So we've got this parallel of the 50 times leaving Mitzrayim is mentioned relates to Shabbat. And then Mefarshim ask, I mean, the two, like, you've got Shabbat. Shabbat is a time of growth. It's a time of openness. Beautiful things going on. And then you have Yitziyat Mitzrayim, which is the complete opposite. So the idea that's laid forth, and this is a very important nakuda, is that when we are growing, we're going to experience discomfort. We have to lean into the discomfort. It's not something we run away from, because when we grow, we're moving out of our comfort zone. So moving out of our comfort zone, everything that our body knows as what we call homeostasis, you have to be safe, is now coming to keep you safe. And what we want to do is to recognize, no, when I'm growing, it's true that I've got a homeostasis, I feel safe, certain, and secure, and when I'm growing, I'm going to break out of that. So we call it leaning into discomfort. Shabbos is an immense, intense time of growth. And what we are saying, or what the Mefarshim explain, is that, yes, you have to remember Mitzrayim. Lean into the discomfort, because when you lean into the discomfort, that is the gateway to growth. That's how you start to create and build and develop and cultivate resilience. That I'm not afraid of the discomfort of growth. And more than that, I lean into it. I look at it as the most unbelievable challenge, as we'll go into. that Metzer Yam, things look narrow, it's difficult, Oyvei, there's tension, there's discomfort. Lean into it, own it. And then what happens? Very, very quickly, hopefully you come to this new darga of growth.
Wow. It's fascinating because Rebbe just mentioned right now homeostasis. I think it was one of the first times I ever heard Rebbe speak. He spoke about this idea. And I remember it being such a chiddush for me that sort of type of resistance that we have to that uncomfortability is built, on some levels, built into the Bria.
Uh-huh.
Right? It's manifesting within the way that the body runs is to try to be able to keep a status quo. You know, and I remember what Rebbe said was that, you know, when we try to embark on doing something different and we start to experience these thoughts of like, oh my gosh, like, you're going to kill yourself. Like I was just discussing with a friend, he was talking about, oh, he's trying to break out of certain habits in terms of his physical health, you know, and starting to run, starting to jog. And I know when I've tried to do this as well, I think I spoke about it in a recent podcast, you know, there are thoughts there that pop up, which is like, what are you doing? Like, you're going to kill yourself. You're going to give yourself a heart attack. Like, you know, like, what are you doing to yourself? Like, that is
you have to
something
in.
Built into the process
stronger.
That tries to be able to
makes you
protect
stronger.
Us.
Yep.
But that's something natural to expect. And it's not something that we should feel like, okay, if I'm experiencing this sort of type of thoughts of resistance, that's indicative of anything. But what we need to do is we need to see that opportunity, right, of, wow, if there's something which is uncomfortable, now it can lead into it.
Learn. To learn Beautiful. To lean into it. Is Maamar Chazal, very interesting Maamar Chazal. You have to kill yourself for Torah.
Right.
Interesting Maamar Chazal. Very interesting. What's Pshat? But it's saying if you want to grow, yes, there's a level of ego death that you are going to experience if you do want to grow. And what we do as Bnei Yisrael, this is something that we do as Bnei Yisrael, we do not run away.
Right.
Mitzrayim is, you have to think about Mitzrayim. How did we get to Mitzrayim? Who started the Mitzrayim journey? Who started it? Was it Paro?
No.
Started beforehand.
Right, right.
So who started it? Who said we will go down?
Yaakov. Avram Avinu.
So Avram Avinu knew the secret. Avram Avinu, all the Torahs that speak about, for you to be Am Yisrael, lean into the discomfort. Own it. Don't run away from it. And only when we started to lean into it, which we're not going to go into now, but there are several sources that say that the tefillah that they davened of pain was a sharing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We remembered Avram Avinu's message. We're feeling that pain. We're owning it. We're becoming a nation. That was a tefillah that they davened, the Chemdas Yomim and others. It wasn't a tefillah of all hope is lost. It was a tefillah of saying, oh, we've remembered who we are.
Wow.
Yeah, now we have to pray, Nachon. We have to pray, because we are going to get through this.
Wow.
The prayer was, there's hope. The prayer was a prayer of resilience. The Tsar was leaning into that and becoming resilient, opening ourselves up. I know there's going to be something new soon.
Wow, that's powerful. And I think that, you know, that's the message that the Sfas Emes is giving over, Bishem, his grandfather over here, is that the fact that we recognize and we're willing to accept that there's something wrong, right, and be able to then lean in and to experience those feelings of uncomfortability when I realize, you know what, maybe things aren't so great. Like they're not going great in my job. They're not going great, you know what I'm saying, with my finances. I'm experiencing that discomfort. That is the impetus to then be like, now I'm going to take that and make that change. But if we're running away from that, we're trying to avoid it, we're trying just not to think about it, so then we're never going to be able to experience that change. Beautiful, beautiful. So let's take a look in that same piece of the Sfas Emes. The Sfas Emes, he first brings the parish of his grandfather, Chiddush Harim, and then he goes on to explain another understanding of why Mara shows up at the Seder, which I think, as Rebbe just hinted to before, is really going to deepen what we just opened up with. So the Sfas Emes says, he says, V'pashut yeshlom ratam Mara. So he says, it's pashut to give another understanding why is the Mara is here at the Seder. He says, the Hari Shagam HaGolus V'yemei Ha'inui Royin Ata V'maminim Shehaya L'toiva U'mishabchin Al Hashem Shabchin Al Hashem. This is going to be one of those like deep, in, you know, deep breath inhale with being shared over here. Is that when we're eating more at the Seder, what we're doing is that we are expressing the fact that even that the Golus and even the suffering, the Yemei Ha'inui, right, that we're seeing now in Anachnu Maminim v'Hashem, that it was good, that it was for the good, and we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for it. That it needed to be through Mitzrayim that we can come through, as Rabbi was hinting to, we needed to go through that to bring us to this bris of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right, as it says, right, that we had to go through this process, the Kor HaBarzel. And through going through this Gula Mitzrayim, we became an Umah Chadasha, a new nation, right, like somebody who converts, right, it's like a yeled, a child that was just born. Right, and this is what Svasema says, this Mamish could change your Kriya Shema every single day. Like this, I remember I saw this, I was like, wow. He says, "Kamasha Kasev Asher Tzeisi Eschem Yeretz Mitzrayim Liyois Lechem Lelukim." That when we say, and this is such a fundamental part of Yiddishkeit, that Kadosh Baruch Hu, right, wants us to remember, right, that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim Liyois Lechem Lelukim in order to be our God. So he says that zechira of Yitzias Mitzrayim Koy Gam Ala Yerida Legalus. It's not just the fact that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. It's
talking about
that Hashem put us into Mitzrayim. That you, Kadosh Baruch Hu, put me through Mitzrayim. You put me through galus. Within the pasuk, focus on the fact that Hashem put us in to then take us out. But we have to understand that part of that is the fact that Hashem put us through that experience. It wasn't just by happenstance that we were in Mitzrayim. Rak shakol hayah hachana liknois hashleimus. Right, that it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intentions to put us into this place so that therefore through that uncomfortability and through that experience, like the Kor HaBarzel, which is, like he says, refining silver right through the fire to be able to refine it, that was our experience.
Beautiful.
That was the experience. Wow.
Beautiful.
So SMS is adding over here just a little bit, you know, it, just to sum up in one line is that the actual experience itself of the uncomfortability, right, and the suffering and the difficulty, that itself is something which we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu because we recognize that through that challenge that built who we became.
It's having the ability, you know, I remember Rabbi Singer would say, how do you know how mature you are becoming in your Avodas Hashem? And you'd say, because you can embrace and you can actually thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the discomfort.
Wow.
So a person goes
That's
through...
That's a level of maturity.
So a level of maturity. So a person goes through a very difficult situation. So what one would want is, number one, to get out of the situation, to do everything one can to get out of the situation. However, and as well, eventually, what would one want to achieve? To be able to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it was really uncomfortable. I experienced discomfort. It wasn't nice. But I actually thank you for what I went through. No matter how dark it was, I embrace it because the me that I am now never would have been if I didn't go through that journey. And when I speak to people, people grow up sometimes in abusive homes. People grow up, you know, and they have different marital issues. And it's an amazing thing. I was dealing with, fortunately, there was a divorce. And if I didn't get involved, it would have been fireworks, you know, all over. And Baruch Hashem, it became very amicable. But one thing that I thought was very important for this couple was the fact, yes, they had dark patches, but you know how many good times they had as well? And sometimes when a person's going through something difficult, they can forget all the good as well, because we hyper-focus. And I said, you should thank each other for the good times that you had as well. And even though, you know, it was discomfort, you felt that discomfort. However, and as well, it wasn't just discomfort. And we're told in Mitzrayim there was a lot of good times as well.
Maybe we have to have
a karas atov.
Fascinating, right?
Vayichi Yaakov is gematria. What did we say? Gevura. But Vayichi Yaakov is the times, the 17 years were the best times he had. So even during the times of discomfort, it's important to recognize and to look out for the good times as well, to embrace that discomfort, and to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that discomfort at the end of the day. So it's not to get lost. You know, when you speak to somebody and they say, oh, these 10 years have been the worst. Everything has been bad.
You know, because the reality is, you know, sometimes people are going to find themselves going through a rough patch financially.
Correct.
A rough time at work. You get caught with this boss, you know, and this, you get assigned this, you know, this project for 6 months. And, you know, how do we feel during that period of time? You know, we go through a situation and it could be rough, it could be challenging, but the question is, how do we react to it?
And as well, the how do we react to it 100%, but as well to realize in those times of rough places, how many good moments can there be if you allow yourself to experience them?
Right, within that situation. I mean, that ultimately is what was going on in Mitzrayim, is that there was inui, there was suffering, there was death, right? There was challenge, right? There was all of that which Paro put us through, but we were mevarin the tzaitzis. Like, meaning, through that...
That's
we
how
were
the
mitakin,
tikkun occurred. That's
through it.
The rapach nitzaitzis is that's, yes, that excavation of the nitzaitzis, that gathering and that elevation of the nitzaitzis really stemmed from there. We know, for example, so many Sfarim tell us that the av of our exiles is Mitzrayim. And we know that we have to go through the exiles in order to come to redemption. And the Biala Rebbe Shlita, he has two books that is, it speaks about the bracha of exile. There's a bracha which sounds very odd. And the Rebbe has two volumes, you know, some 400 pages,
wow,
where he speaks about what we can attain in exile, what we can achieve in the bitterness is on a certain respect, it's something that we'll never ever be able to achieve such greatness in the redemptive state.
Wow. It's not, total flip.
Yeah, it's
of
not,
like the
it's
way
not
that
saying
we
run after it. It's not saying Chas v'Shalom we run after it. We don't run after the darkness. We don't celebrate the darkness. Oh, amazing, more darkness. No. We want to get out of the darkness, but we want to understand that discomfort, when a person's at work, you know, when a person's at work, when a person's in some sort of situation, there is a bracha there. And we may not understand it there and then. We may not understand it, but if we change our mindset, which we will speak about, at least we can react. Excuse me. We can react differently to it. And when we react differently to it, bracha opens up.
Wow. I'm smiling because, as Rabbi was sharing, it's not something that we look for. It's not something that we seek after. I saw this with a chavrusa recently, this Torah in the Tefer Shlomo, that spoke about, gave such a wild understanding of what Paro was thinking. So let's just take a look. It's a long piece. We want to make sure we have enough time for the Avoda. But what we'll do is that we'll start inside. We'll start inside, and Bez Hashem, we'll make our way through it. But what the Tefer Shlomo is speaking about over here is this lashon of sivlos Mitzrayim, similar to what we mentioned from the Chedushim and the Sfasemis. And what he says over here in the second line, he says, "Shatorah melamedes osanu ikar inyan haskula asher ba'avura yatzu mimitzrayim." What was the inyan, the ikar inyan of the skula, and then that which we were able to go out of Mitzrayim? So listen to what he says. He says, "V'hu b'yois am b'nei Yisrael." Am b'nei Yisrael, zer Yaakov v'chirei am kadosh. Right, that we're b'nei Yisrael, we're the descendants of Yaakov, right, the b'chir of Avos. Am kadosh gam b'yoisim b'mitzrayim tachas chor barzel. Even though we were in that difficult place, right? You think your job is a bad place, right? You think you have a hard time, a bad boss. They were with Paro. Imam, she knew how to be able to make everyone suffer at work. V'avidu mitzrayim osam mechol avada kasha. Imam, it's everything you can think of. Mechol zeh nemana. And even through all of that, inside internally, they didn't think, what is this? That Dafka us, B'nai Yisrael, we should be downtrodden, we should be stepped on more than all of the other umays. Was it because of the fact that we have good yichus? Right, that we're B'nai Yisrael, anu nishtavei the Mitzrayim, apchusim v'shveilim, that we should be in this bad job? Never asked yourself that question? Someone like me, pedigree degree, PhD, all this training, but I should be under this boss who's 20 years younger than me, and you know, his father-in-law got on the job. What about this? Ach b'chol eis, hahi kiblu hakol ba'ava v'savlu aleihem, but they were makabu ba'ava. Even in the darkest moments, the Savul Gezeres HaKadosh Baruch Hu, listen to this. Ki im be'enav hu toiv gam lanu b'yoshe. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu thinks this is where I need to be right now, so I'm also good. If Hashem's in, I'm in. V'zeh ma'ashokasa v'yetzei moish al echa v'yar v'sivlois. There's a wild part coming up. Moshe went out and he saw their suffering. B'chihu levadara. What? Only Moshe saw b'sivlaisem. So he says, ach, kavana. Moshe Rabbeinu Rav Ruach HaKodesh Midas HaSavlana Shel Bnei Yisrael. He was able to see this Sivloisam. He saw the Savlanus. He saw the toleration of Bnei Yisrael. Kinasu Shchamam Lekapa, that they accepted everything Ma'ava. So he goes on, they didn't have a hard time. They didn't have any kashas in the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Even though they were in this difficult job, this difficult place, they accepted it because they recognized, he says, skip a couple lines down, because he understood. He understood that this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted from them. V'lechach zochu degula, and says the Tavar Shlomo, this is why there is zochu degula. Now he brings it down to something I saw. I'm like, yeah, I say that. There you go. Kichei nochem liyois odem ma'amin ba'Hashem. A person needs to be ma'amin ba'Hashem v'chol derachav in every way of HaKadosh Baruch Hu mikrov. Kishem shemavarchan ala toiva, right? We have to bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the good, and even what doesn't seem to us to be good. He says, af im yisigu pigei hazman chalila. And even when a person has a difficult time, he goes through a rough patch, a rough financial period in life, a rough job that he's caught into, or anything in life, that he's having a difficult time. V'rabu alav amatridim umavatlin oisai mavoidasav limudai. Not just because it's uncomfortable, we're from. We have the Shem Shemaim, right? It's not just because it's a bad boss. What do you mean? Do you know what how this is making it difficult for my avodas Hashem? Do you know how much this is causing me bilbo das? I'm not able to learn in my daf yomi. Right? I'm getting angry at my family and my kids. Right? This is stopping me from my dveikus. Do you know what type of environment I'm exposed to? I'm not able to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All of these things that are blocking me. V'lechavera gromi man, my friend, you know, he's not as good as me. Yesh lo oishev v'nechasim menucha. He has it easy. Look at him. He's got money. He's got property. He has menuchas nefesh. Ula yira levavi lemar. Maybe I should say in my heart, Lama ze Hashem? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what are you doing? Lama ze Hashem tidafeni bapecha chinam? You're just running after me for no reason, chasing after me, putting me in these situations where the way apachos mi mein esata kol atoiv, that and my friend who's lower than me, he has all the good things. Alo tov yelecha. Maybe it would be good to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, la'aniko mitubcha kasher. My whole kavana is I should be able to learn in the Beis Hashem, sit in the Beis Medrash. And all these things are stopping me from being close to you. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you could have came up with a better plan. He says. Do you know who really says this? This is, I didn't get to the wild part yet. Wild part's coming. He said, Lo davar chein. No, it's not true, says the Tavar Shlomo. Ki am kumach shavayis Hashem. Because the kavanas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo yavinim koish ve'sevel, we're finite beings, we never understand the infinite. Ki ilu rotzen Hashem, maybe the whole rotzen of Hashem v'nasoisoi is Hashem's trying to see in this situation you're in this hard time you're in, as Rabbi said, in this uncomfortability that you're in this bad job that you're in, im yahara acharav, maybe the whole nesayim is whether or not we're going to ask that question, or we're going to say, Hashem, if you're in, I'm in. Ach ze inyan avodas Hashem, lahoyer metoy chashechas, levav yazach l'shamayim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is the inyan of avodas Hashem, says beautifully, this is one pshat, what does it mean, v'chol nashlecha, we say in Kriya Shema, v'chol nashlecha, we love you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with all of our nefesh, afilu notels nashlecha, nefesh hu lashon ratzon, nefesh is a lashon of desire, means what? Right, we see from Yosef, you have, he says, Amar HaKasav, what is, look what he says over here, Afilu notel snashcha pesh ritzoncha shenotel mimcha rotzen Hashem yisbarach, hayde tirdos ha-parnasa v'kayoytze, that even, what does it mean, I love God with all of my nefesh? Means that even if, because of what you're causing me right now, I'm not able to serve you, that I have a rotzen right now to serve you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but because I have this tirdos ha-parnasa, and because I have all these finances to deal with, I'm not able to serve you, ava became v'hafta, love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it shouldn't be difficult for you what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing. And he says a couple of lines down that he says, this was the conversation, this is what I was saying about the wild part, this was the conversation between Moshe Rabbeinu and Paro. Because he says, do you know what Paro says to Moshe Rabbeinu? When Moshe Rabbeinu shows up to Paro and he says, let my people go. Let's see his words, it's just, his words are gold. And he says, Achach Amar Lem Paro, Hachacham Lera, Lama Moshe Aaron Tefriu Asa'am Mimasav? Why are you bothering them? The Chulus Imu Sechem, Roitzel Leimer, what does that mean? Lama Tefriu Otam Avodasam Ashelahem Ata Bebechinas Asavlanus? The Yidden are serving Hashem pretty good over here. Like, it's good. They're serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu good.
Such a kiddush.
They're accepting what I'm doing to them good. They're Ramuna Shleima. Why are you bothering them? They're doing good. This is what Paro said to them. So I was laughing when Rebbe said before, we don't ask for it. Paro was like, he had a kunz. Paro was like, no. It's good for them to be in a difficult situation. It's good for them to have a bad job. It's good. I'm doing l'shem shemayim. That even though they're in a bad situation, they're able to lahar es achayshat. This is what Paro said. Amazing, mind-blowing, Tver Shlomo, and really...
It's a raya. You know, today, so many people celebrate the darkness. Paro wants us to celebrate the darkness. We don't want to celebrate the darkness. Darkness is dark. We need to get through it to get to the other side. We're growing. And the Nakuda is if Moshe, Reb Moshe and Reb Aaron, if they listened, if they got manipulated by the words of Paro, Oyvei.
Right.
It's a big deal. This is a very, very, very big Torah.
It's a big Torah, and it hits the nail right on the head in terms of this developing the Zuzurian's mindset, because this is similar to what the Svasemis is explaining with Maror, is that when we have this perspective of understanding that the difficult situations that we go into, and when we hit that difficulty at work, we get hit with that bad assignment, we get hit with this challenging client, we get hit with something which is challenging for us, to recognize within that challenge, within that mara is geula.
It's interesting. What were you saying? When we have the proper perspective, the proper mindset. So it's fascinating that we first eat the matzah.
Within
Leil HaSeder, first we connect to Das, and then from Das we eat the Mara, not the other way around. The order itself is sharing with us. Your mindset is so important.
Beautiful.
You have to be a Balas Das. You have to be present, conscious. You have to choose. You have to be aware that, okay, I'm now going to eat Mara. I'm going to own it. I'm going to eat maror. Not the other way around. The other way around doesn't work. When the das is in the nefesh, when the das is enveloped by the nefesh, pain and suffering is pain and suffering. But when a person's a bal das, and a person is sensitive to the bigger picture, and they're conscious of the bigger picture, only then can they eat the maror.
It's beautiful. You're sharing, meaning connected to what we spoke about in the last class about matzah, and matzah playing that role of being able to just see things as that which they are without getting caught up in their interpretation. We first eat the matzah, and then after we eat matzah, right, and that fills us up with the matzah, and now we can now embrace bar.
Yes.
In a way of resilience.
Yes.
In a way of resilience. Beautiful. So how would you say, Rebbe, like what would be, you wanted to take an avoda for us, you know, going into Leil HaSeder with our maror, whether or not you eat the, you know, for the weaklings, the lettuce, the real guys, you know, all the Ashkenazim,
the horse radish. By the Sfadim, the Yerushalmi says that in Eretz Yisrael they had the Romanian lettuce.
Whatever your mara is going to be. Like, what would be a suggested avodah for us to really, really connect to this aura of resilience? Because this is one aspect, obviously, to put imprisoned mara into this little aspect. One aspect, you know, wouldn't be fair, but within one aspect of what we're talking about over here is that Mara is an opportunity for us to really develop and walk out of our seders, changed people with developing the skill set of resilience, which is so important when it comes to finances. What would you say? What might be an avoidable?
So I would suggest like this, that we give a share on this nakuda of resilience. And what we say in the share, but very, very bekitsur, is as following, that usually what people do, say a person wants to achieve a goal, person wants to grow and they want to achieve something. So what they do is usually they put a reward at the end of the goal.
Meaning, I have a goal, if I get it done, that's what I'm going to get.
I'm going to celebrate, I'm going to have this particular reward. Now there's an issue with that, because within our body, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created that we have dopamines. So dopamines become released when we have accomplished our goal and when we now celebrate. But the nakuda is, over time, the dopamines need to be, what do you call it? Not just a reboost. You need to have more of a reward to release the same amount of dopamines. So you have to up the game of the reward.
Because we get used to the level of reward, therefore it won't release the dopamine, so we need to up that.
Correct. Dopamine affects as well our coding of time, how we relate to a situation. So if we're putting a reward at the end, or if we're putting some sort of reward at the beginning, we're actually going to be playing around in an unhealthy way with our whole neurobiology and the release of dopamines, which is a very important nakuda, which we have a whole share just on different chemicals related to shame havaya, if you remember that.
Yeah, I remember you spoke about that.
So what happens is the best way to really deal with this is in the process you want to be able to release dopamines. Well, how do you release dopamines in the process? By leaning into the discomfort, but more than that, while you are leaning into the discomfort, at the peak of the discomfort, or any way through the discomfort, you turn the process into the reward.
What
not
do you
the
mean by that?
Product, you turn the process. So what you turn around and say is when a person's exercising, when a person's in some sort of discomfort, it's to stop, be in a state of das, and it's to say, okay, I've got this. This is my challenge. I have this. Yes! This is going to make me wiser, stronger. So for example, if I'm exercising, at the peak of discomfort, I'll say, I love this, excellent, I've got this, this is helping me grow. So I turn the process of discomfort into the reward.
You're not just focusing on the light at the end of the tunnel,
correct,
but recognizing that I am growing through this.
I am growing through this and I love it. I get emotional about it, I've got this, excellent. So for example, somebody, you know, there's a book, the name slips me right now, but they speak about the idea of now and soon, yet. So they took, for example, just show you a couple of different, in Stanford they did a project where they took kids who love drawing, and they drew, kids drew, they like drawing. They introduced a reward system to the kid. So what happened is that the child drew and received a reward. But then when the reward was taken away, even though they enjoyed drawing beforehand, they didn't draw as much. They didn't draw as much because it was based on the reward. It wasn't based on the event itself. It wasn't based on the process. And as well, same with kids, same with people who have a test. They have a test. So if they fail the test, what does the now dictate? So now is I failed the test. But if you say, okay, but you are yet to pass, what can you learn from it? So the moment that the process was turned into a challenge, the moment a person identified differently with the process, radically changed the outcome, changed everything. If they're just working for the goal, then the process was slower, more painful, far more discomfort. But when a person turned the actual process, the discomfort, into the challenge itself, I'm doing a birinit zaisus kedusha, I'm being megala HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this darkness. And then when the darkness has lifted, Baruch Hashem, but I turn the challenge, the process itself, into the reward. I say, even though you may not mean it, you don't need to mean it, put a smile on your face, excellent, this is helping me grow, I'm becoming stronger, wiser, more authentic, more resilient.
Wow.
That itself will tenfold your productivity.
It's amazing. It's just, you know, in any situation that we're going through and a difficulty at work or any area in life where we're pushing ourselves into that realm of the uncomfort, how to be able to practically work with our biology, right, and chemistry so that therefore we're able to experience things differently. As we're at Leil HaSeder, we're sitting there, I'm thinking, you know, it sounds like the way Rebbe's explaining it is that really what Maror is in this Geula process is, it's funny, I don't know if this is what you were thinking, but it's kind of like before we're going to get to Shulchan Aruch and we're just going to, like, you know, everyone's going to put their hair down and be like, yeah, freedom. It's like, wait, recognize the process. So, well, what would you say something
correct
to keep in mind as we're eating maror?
As we're eating maror, it's closing your eyes, and if, you know, depending what sort of maror
you're
eating,
maybe you have tears coming out of your eyes.
You've got tears, but it's having in your mind, this is the discomfort that occurs in order to be free.
Wow.
That I own this. I own this.
We eat that. You know, we eat this maror.
It's what's the word? It's visceral. I'm eating it. I'm really choosing.
I'm
in a state of das, and I am really choosing to be involved in the discomfort.
Wow.
And through leaning into that discomfort, I'm going to get to
maybe that's
have
why,
the Shulchan
maybe, maybe that's why we don't lean back when we eat maror. It's because we want to lean in.
Nachon.
I don't know. All right, that just came down right now. But it's a beautiful, beautiful avodah. You know, once again, there's always more to share. But just to sum up what we've spoken about here today, right, is that one of the key, you say this, when it comes to success, money, finance, is developing this resilience. It's called a growth mindset, right, by others.
Growth mindset.
Right, growth mindset by others. And what we're seeing is that within the Leil HaSeder, once again, in the context of after we become that Bardas, beautiful, beautiful insight regarding the Matzah, become the Bardas, now we have the ability to look at those challenges and to really jump and to lean into them and to recognize that ultimately it's through those challenges, right? As we saw before, even becoming aware of what's uncomfortable for us, which is going to enable us to really to experience that geula and freedom. Once again, we just like to thank our sponsors, Eckert and Cohen. As we go through difficult times of life and resilience, we need to build internal tools. It definitely helps to know that we have insurance behind us. Definitely helps to know we have insurance behind us. Thank you once again for sponsoring today's class, and each one of us should be able to experience good times and to be able to find the light in challenging times. Mm-hmm.